Well, I'm glad to be back with you after being out of town last week. And since last week, most of our students and teachers and administrators have finished the school year and begun summer, which is an exciting time in the life of our church. We look forward to summer every year because it brings lots of neat opportunities for spiritual growth. It brings chances for kids and families to participate in events like Vacation Bible School and our different summer camps and mission trips. And there are going to be opportunities for you to serve and be a, make a difference in the life of other people. And I also hope that during this summer, every one of our families will take some opportunity, find some time to reconnect. Whether you take a vacation or a staycation, or you just turn off the TV and the cell phones long enough just to reconnect with each other a little bit. Because summertime is a great time to kind of review how things are going and regroup and relax and refocus our lives together. You don't want to waste this season because it's a good opportunity to reflect on how your family is doing, and it's a season for us to grow together. And we all know instinctively that growth is important. I was sharing a cup of coffee earlier this week with Jeremiah's other granddad, my friend Harold, and his chest was puffing out a little bit because he was bragging about his new grandson, this precious Jeremiah that you guys saw up on the stage just a few minutes ago. He was telling me about how his grandson has reached a certain percentile for height and weight, or length and weight, and I remember bragging on my own kids for those same statistics when they were that age. In fact, if you've got kids, you've seen your pediatrician mark your child's progress on a growth chart that probably looked something like this. They use these charts to track each kid's physical development. And so at every doctor's appointment, they measure the length and they measure the weight and they keep an eye on the trend because they want to make sure that your kid is still progressing. Especially in that those early months when the kids are real small, the doctors want them to be gaining weight, they want them to be getting longer, and it's not. It's not because the doctor wants every kid to be tall and heavy, it's because if they stop growing, it indicates that there's a problem. And so they watch the trend, and they look for deviations, and they look for dips and spikes in the chart, because it can alert us to a potential problem that's causing that change in the growth pattern. Growth is important because growth is a measure of health, which is why I've entitled the message series that we're kicking off today, Healthy Things Grow. And in this series, I want to get you thinking about how you're growing. Now, we're not going to talk about your physical growth. I kind of think that about the age of three, there's a time when it's no longer polite to talk about what percentile you're in, right? Like, once you're an adult, that's just not fun any longer, you know? Thanks for asking. I'm in the 48th percentile for height and the 99th for weight, you know? Thanks. That doesn't feel quite the same. But what we're interested in this series is the trend in your spiritual growth. I mean, if you were to go for a checkup with a spiritual mentor, if you were to go for a checkup with a spiritual advisor, what would they measure? What would they wonder about? What would they track? How would they know if you were making any progress in your spiritual life? I mean, now that you're an adult, every time you go to the doctor, they track a whole slew of things, right? They keep a file on you. Not only do they track your height and your weight every time and make comment about it along the way, but they track your cholesterol, they track your blood pressure, and maybe dozens of other indicators to keep an eye on the status of your physical health. And I think that as we kick off this series, I hope each one of us wants to get proactive about our spiritual health. I think if we want to be healthy, if we want to be spiritually healthy, we've got to figure out how we can monitor and improve our spiritual health, because healthy things have a tendency to grow. And the truth is that this is a reality that Christian leaders have been focused on for a long time. If you've got a Bible with you or the Bible app on your phone, you can find your way with us to the New Testament book of Ephesians, which is where we're going to camp out for a little bit today. And when you make your way over to Ephesians, you're going to be holding an ancient letter written by one of the earliest leaders in Christian history, a guy we call the Apostle Paul. Now, if you were to look at a spiritual growth chart of Paul's life, it would look really odd. because it would be almost flatlined for the first portion of his life. Now, it's not because he didn't care about spiritual things. It's that he was kind of going through a different phase, and then later on it suddenly spikes, and then it continues to go up and to the right with this series of spikes for the rest of his life. Paul was a guy who only knew one speed, and that was fast. He was passionate about everything he did. He gave his full energy to whatever he committed to do. And in the early years of his life, he was very religious, but he was not very spiritual. He was educated. He was involved. He was influential in his religious community. The trouble was he didn't understand very much about the character of God. But then he had this spiritual awakening in his midlife stage, and from then on he was constantly growing spiritually, and he dedicated his life to helping other people do the same thing. And he traveled all over teaching people about the God who became a man and lived among us as Jesus. And then Paul would just keep on moving. He would share the good news one place, and then he would go on, but he would stay in touch with the little groups of Christians that he left behind in every city where he worked. And so when you open to Ephesians, you're holding a letter to one of those groups of Christians that Paul had introduced to Jesus. They're in the city of Ephesus. Many of these people had been Christians for a number of years by the time the letter was written, but when they first heard the name of Jesus, it was from Paul's mouth. He was the one that shared it the first time. He was there when God got their attention. He was there for some of their baptisms. He was there. He was like their father in the faith. And you know, we all need someone like that in our faith. Maybe you've got a role model like this. Maybe you've got someone or some people in your life who lived their faith so visibly for you that you could see it. They prayed for you. Maybe they studied with you. Maybe they listened to your questions about spirituality and they helped you find answers. Maybe for you it's someone who's already passed on, but they meant the world to you. And you might not be a Christian if they had not encouraged you. But it may be you don't have anybody like that. Lots of us can easily think of a few faces that fit that description. But before we go on any further this morning, I want to tell you, if you don't have a spiritual mentor, if you don't have someone who's a few steps ahead of you on the journey and interested in your progress, then we want to connect you with someone that will do just that. And your best bet this morning is to find one of our spiritual leaders at the back of the room at the end of our service, or you can find anyone in the room who's wearing one of these badges that says, "How can I help?" around their necks. You can find anyone with one of those and say, "I want to hear more about Starting Point," which is our program for people who are new or returning to faith. And we want to help you find someone because you need someone like Paul in your life who's going to help you grow. And that's what Paul's all about. And so when we dive into Ephesians chapter 3, you're going to listen to these words that he wrote to his spiritual children. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he says, "I fall to my knees and I pray. I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth." And you want to know what I'm praying about? I'm praying that from his glorious, unlimited resources. I love that about God, don't you? His unlimited resources. What's it like when you're the one who, if you run out of stuff, you just make more? You know? You run out of anything, you're like, "Oh, I created all that in the first place. I'll just make some more." This is who our God is. And Paul says, "I'm praying that he, out of his glorious and unlimited resources, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." Now remember, he's talking to people who have already started their spiritual journey. Many of these people have been Christians for years, but Paul is not content with just a past decision for them to be Christians. He wants something bigger for them. And so he says, "I'm constantly on my knees praying for you. I'm begging God about you. I'm praying that God would give you strength from his unlimited strength. I want your spiritual muscles to keep growing." Paul's not content with letting them just stay the same. He says, "I want you on a plan, on a track to keep growing." Here's the next verse, verse 17. He says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. You see, Paul knows that Jesus wants to live his life through your body. Jesus wants to replace your life with his life so that other people will see how you live and think, that's Jesus. They'll recognize Jesus when they see how you behave. And Paul describes this as Jesus making his home in your heart. Our kids down the hallway, they sing a song like this, Blue Skies and Rainbows. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Our kids are singing this song, but Paul says this is a process for Jesus to move in. It happens over time as you trust him. Now, you know your own heart better than anyone else does. And I wonder if you've ever considered, what would it take for Jesus to feel at home in your heart? With everything you know about Jesus, with everything you've heard and everything you've read about Jesus, what kind of remodeling would Jesus need to do to make your heart his home? Because that's what Paul's after. He's writing to these Christians in Ephesus and he's saying, I'm praying that God would give you strength to trust Jesus as he remodels your heart. It's not easy to just turn over the keys though, is it? You remember the show that was out a few years ago? It was called Trading Spaces, and it was this kind of a home remodeling kind of deal, but it was a unique concept because they would get two next door neighbors and they would say, okay, you two trade house keys for a week. And then when you come back, your neighbor will have remodeled one of the rooms in your house to their taste with our budget. That was the gist of the show. And sometimes it worked out great, but sometimes the homeowners would come back at the end of the show and they weren't very excited about the new look, like this time when someone created a Caribbean beach scene in their living room, complete with sand all over the floor. They would pan the faces of the homeowners and they would look at their neighbors like, what have you done to my house? They had placed a lot of trust in one another. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says Christ wants to make himself at home in your heart. He's going to have to do some remodeling and you're going to have to trust him. And I'm praying that God will give you strength to do that, he says. And then he says, and then, the second part of verse 17, he says, your roots will grow down into God's love, and they'll keep you strong. So we're kind of changing metaphors just a little bit, going to an agricultural thing. But he says, when you start to trust, when God gives you this strength to trust, he says your roots are going to grow into God's love. It's like God's love is the foundation. It's like it's the soil that feeds your soul. God's love. But guess what it's not? Guess what are not the keys to spiritual growth? It's not about knowledge. You can't study your way into spiritual growth because knowledge is not enough. I want you to know, I've got friends, dear friends of mine, who went through graduate school with me. They have advanced degrees in theology and religion, but they have walked away from faith. They know the facts, they can explain, they can defend the faith with the best of them, but their heart is far from God. It's not just knowledge that makes you grow. And it's not just willpower either. Willpower is not enough to make you grow spiritually. And neither is church membership, and neither is church attendance. It's not about how involved you are. Remember, Paul, the guy who's writing this letter, he was super influential in his religious community and he was active before he truly went all in for God. All those things he had, the knowledge, the willpower, the attendance and the membership, they're important, they're valuable, but they're not enough. It's all about your connection to God's love. It's about your awareness of how much God cares for you. And I want you to know, church, if you don't hear anything else I say today, this is it. I think this is what spiritual growth and spiritual health is all about. There are a lot of practices and a lot of habits and a lot of disciplines you can try to help you grow spiritually. But the goal of faith, the goal of our faith is to realize just a little more every day just how much God loves you and loves me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how much different your life would be if you knew without a doubt that God loves you and wants the best for you? Think about how much less you would worry. No more sleepless nights, anxious about what the next day might bring. You wouldn't be fearful of the unknown because regardless of what happened, you would trust that God's got it under control. God's got tomorrow well in hand. Your whole life and my whole life would be different if we went into every situation confident of God's love for us, wouldn't it? I do some work in a hospital as a chaplain, and I walk into a lot of rooms of people who are going through traumatic situations, crisis moments. And in those moments, I want so badly for them to know God loves you. But they're having a hard time seeing it. They're having a hard time believing it because of the present circumstances and because their imagination is so limited as to how God could be loving in this situation. Think how much different it would be for them if they knew that God loved them. Think how much different the world around us would be if everybody around us knew without a doubt that God loved us. There would be there's so much pain and so much brokenness in the world because people are afraid and because people feel alone, like they have to look out for themselves because nobody else will. But if we all knew, if we really knew that God loved us, our whole outlook on the world would be different. And that's what Paul is praying for you. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, he says, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. May you have the power to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love is. Man, if I could pray one thing for you, it would be that you would know, not just think, not just be able to recite, not just be willing to sing, but that you would know that God's love for you is bigger than you've ever dared to imagine. It's deeper than you can contemplate. He loves you even when you know you don't deserve it. God loves you when you don't love you. And that's a big deal. He loves you when you've made the greatest mistakes in your life. He loves you when you cannot get your act together. He loves you not because you did something to deserve the love, but because he's that good. And his love is even bigger than that. His love is so expansive, he loves your kids and your family more than you do. He loves them and he knows their situation, and you don't have to worry. You don't have to panic to get God to notice what's going on with your kids. You don't have to worry to get God to notice what's happening with your family. He's already paying really close attention to those situations. He's already working in those lives. But I want to tell you, his love's even bigger than that. Because God's love is so wide. God's love is so high. He loves the people that you haven't even learned to care about yet. He loves the people who make your life difficult. He loves the people who make you nervous. He loves the people that you don't want to see in leadership. He loves the people who look different than you. He loves the people who live different than you. He loves the people who believe different than you. And his love is not running out. Verse 19, Paul says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. He says, you're never going to get it. You're never going to understand what I'm talking about. In fact, I don't even understand. I'm trying to tell you that it's wide and it's high and it's deep and it's long and it's big and it's great. And I'm trying to tell you all of that because those are the only words I know how to use. But it's bigger than that. He says, I want you to know, I want you to experience it. And then, verse 19, then you will be made complete
with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. He says, there's no way you're ever going to grasp all this. It's bigger than your mind can conceive. And so my prayer is that you'll experience it. My prayer is that you'll grow spiritually and that your soul will be healthy and complete. This is Paul's mission. This is Paul's dream for you and his dream for me, that we might grow because we know the love of Christ. In fact, all the New Testament writers were passionate about this. They all prayed that Christians everywhere would continue to grow. And I don't have time to make you a long list of all the verses from the other New Testament writers, but they all prayed for this same thing. And I wonder, how's it going for you? How's it going for you? I'm going to invite you to a little challenge, a little exercise that I'd like to ask you to participate in this week. I'm going to ask you to get a blank sheet of paper, and I want you to create a growth chart for your spiritual life. Now, it's okay if you're brand new to faith. It's okay if you're just checking out church. I still hope you'll do this, because you're on a spiritual journey too. But I want you to get a blank piece of paper, and I want you to draw two axes on it, a vertical axis and a horizontal axis. And on that horizontal line, you'll do a basic timeline of your life. Don't just put your age on there. I want you to put some of the major transitions and some of the events that have happened to you. You can include things like when you moved away from home, or when you went to college, or when you fell in love. You can think about the great moments and think about the not so great moments. Think about the births and the deaths of the people that were close to you. Think about the marriages and the divorces that happen in your family. The horizontal axis, that's your history. But the vertical axis is a little trickier, because if I tell you to just go chart your spiritual journey, you might be inclined to measure on the vertical axis your obedience or your closeness to God over time. And if you do that, then you're probably going to end up with a line on the chart that has some severe spikes in both directions. You're going to end up with some positive spikes when your life was happy and easy and you felt like things were going your way and you thought, yeah, it's easy to trust and believe in God at that moment. But then you might end up with some negative, some dips, some valleys in the line when your life was challenging, or maybe when you were in your rebellious stage, if you just charted your obedience over time. But I think there's a value or a metric that I'm more interested in. And I think Paul's more interested in, what if instead of charting your obedience over time, what if we charted your awareness of God's love for you? How convinced are you that God loves you? In the moments where the skies are gray and the world is dark, how convinced are you that God loves you? In the moments when your life is easy and enviable, how aware are you that God loves you? And in the moments when you're just living your own way, how aware are you that God loves you over time? And then maybe the most important questions. How aware are you today? And how aware are you going to be tomorrow that God loves you? You see, I think your awareness of God's love, I think your ability to rest in the knowledge that God will never leave you and He will never forsake you, that's the best and the truest measure of spiritual health. And I want to see you grow. And so I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things this week. First, I want you to create a chart like this one. I hope you'll do it this afternoon. I'd like you to create a chart and put your life transitions in there and then try to measure, how aware am I? How aware was I at that moment that God loved me? How aware was I in that moment when things were good, or in that moment when things were hard? How aware was I at that moment that God loved me? And I want to ask you to share that with someone. I want you to find another Christian. It can be someone at your in your household. It can be your small group this evening. It can be a friend that you go to coffee or work with, or something. It doesn't have to be somebody from this church, but I want you to find another Christian, and I want you to share this chart with them. You don't have to go into great detail about all the things you went through or your feelings about it. I just want you to say, there was this moment in my life where I'm not sure I believed God loved me right then. And here I knew it, but here I didn't. I want you to talk about that chart. And then I'm going to ask you to do your best to keep current with this message series, because what we're going to do in this series is we're going to lay out a plan so that your chart can start tracking up and to the right. So that your awareness of God's love for you, your awareness of God's interest in your life will constantly be growing, and you're going to need a plan for that. Because growth doesn't just happen. You don't just put a kid in their bedroom and just say, okay, grow. I mean, you have to put them in an environment, and you have to give them the resources and the nourishment that they need to grow. You can't expect a seed to grow if you don't put it in the right environment. You have to make sure that it's got all of the nourishment and the elements and the environment that it needs to grow. And so you're going to need a plan. And so I want you to do two things this week. Make this chart and share it with someone. And then I want you to keep up with this series. Even if you're traveling, you can keep up through our podcast. You can listen online on our website through your phone. Spend some time on your commute listening to the messages if you missed a Sunday. But keep up with this series. And it's not because I want you to hear me. It's because I want you to have a plan so that your awareness of God's love in your life will continue to grow. Let me pray for that for you. And as we wrap up this morning, we're going to have some spiritual leaders waiting at tables at the back of the room. You can go and ask about starting point. You can go and ask about how to create some spiritual discipline in your life. You can just go and say, I just need prayer. But they're there so that you can go and get the help that you need this morning. Let's pray together. Father, you know how excited I am to share this message in this series. You know that this is a concept and a topic that's near and dear to my heart. But God, my words don't go very far. And so I'm begging you, Father, in this series, that you would give all of us ears to hear the message that you have for us. Because there's going to be some of us, Father, who we've been Christians a long time, and we think, yeah, I'm growing. I'm still going to church. I'm still doing the routine. But Father, I know you've got something bigger for us than that. And there's going to be some of us, Father, who we haven't started a journey, and we're not even sure yet if we believe some of the claims that are in this book. But God, I know you've got a plan to draw us to yourself. And so I'm praying, Father, for open ears, that we would hear the message, that we would hear the invitation, that we would hear the call that you are making on our lives, and that we would not drown that out, we would not shut out that message, but we would listen and we would respond so that we could become more aware of just how good you are and just how much you love us. And I pray for that in the name of Jesus the Christ, who gave his life to prove your love. And amen.